First off, Father, we thank you. Your word is truth. It is true. It is true to us. It is true for us. And Father, I thank you that you have already granted us every spiritual blessing, every blessing in heavenly places you've already granted. And Father, I thank you even now that your son Jesus has already been made to us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, that by his blood we have been set apart for you. So Father, we thank you today. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your word and knowledge of you will be shown abroad in their minds, that the people listening, both present and distance, that they will have their understanding enlightened, that by your Spirit, you will continue and to lead us and guide us into all truth. So, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Well, a couple of things. Matter of fact, we had, speaking of dead raisings, we've had two in the last 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. Neither of which I had anything to do with. I wasn't there. I wasn't praying for the people. One was a life team leader. That's our small groups that we have planted. We got about 200 of them here in the U.S. and close to 400 or 500, I guess, worldwide. But one was a life team leader and person there. I don't have all the details with me, but a person that died in their presence was brought back in the name of Jesus. And then about 2 weeks ago, while I was teaching a seminar, we have a prayer phone, emergency prayer phone, and it's just a cell phone that gets passed around with all the staff, and so you never know who's going to answer it. But while I was teaching, the phone rang, and it was a person in a hospital where a man had just died. They were there with a pastor that didn't know anything about J.J. Limmer or any of that, but he was there, and whenever the person died, the person that was with the person that died picked up the phone, dialed our emergency number. There was a staff member that answered the phone and said, "This person just died." And so the staff member immediately began doing what they were trained to do. And within a matter of minutes, the person came back. And the pastor standing there said, "Who is this JGLM?" He said, "I don't know what they do, but whatever it is, I want to know more and I want to be a part of it." And so now, and I left Tulsa Sunday morning to get here. We did a seminar there in Tulsa. And in that seminar, actually the day before the seminar started, we had a man healed of terminal prostate cancer. We had, during the seminar, we had several people that were deaf that before I laid hands on them while they were in the audience, God opened their ears. Well, he opened their eyes too, but he opened their ears so they could hear. Because the whole purpose of the seminar was to let people know who they are in Christ. Because one of the things, and like, you know, many times we have to realize that even there, I'm just gonna be blunt. I know this is a healing service and we're gonna get to that real quick, right? First off, you know what, before I even start this, how many of you need healing in your body? Let me see your hands. Okay, good portion. You know, one thing about inclement weather, used to I'd pray and we'd keep the weather clear, and we've done that for the last 25 years. But last few years, I started realizing when weather gets bad, a lot of people don't show up. And I started realizing the serious ones still show up. So I thought, well, okay, well, we'll just let it do whatever it wants to do and we'll see who's serious. Like Brother David Hogan used to say, he'd say, "A little bit of water test everybody's resolve." And it doesn't matter if the water's snow or ice or whatever it is. So you got to do what you got to do. But you're here, so you're serious, right? You didn't get scared away by bad weather. Amen? So that means that you either came for something, either you have a need and you want to get that need met, or you want to hear more, learn more, hopefully so you can do more. Amen? We don't just need heads filled with information. We need hands, we need feet, we need mouths. Whatever goes in your ear should come out your mouth. That's right. And so when we sing songs, see, it's always good. It's good to worship the Lord, amen? But we have to make sure when we're singing the songs, where are we singing them from? And where are we singing them to? Because we all know that Jesus was raised up. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is to have preeminence in everything. And so we also know that he was preeminent in the fact that he was the firstborn of many brethren. And that we were recreated in the likeness and image of him. And so we have to always remember, even though we know he's seated at the right hand of the Father, we also have to remember we're seated there with him. We have to remember that while we're here, he is in us here. So while we're there with him, he's here with us. So if we're going to sing, many times we sing from a position of, and I hate to say it this way, not that you did this, I'm just saying I have noticed this, all right? But many times people sing from a position of, let's appease God, let's make him feel good about this, so then if I make him feel good about it, maybe he'll give me what I want.
Right.
We can't sing that way.
Even
the songs, there are some songs that if you sing them wrong, all they'll do is placate you, pacify you. And honestly, maybe the best part there would be maybe give you hope for the future. But you have to realize even the songs we sang today, you need to realize that those songs can be sung in the middle of the storm in your life.
That's right.
But you have to remember too, it's not just we are his. He is ours. He gave himself for us. Amen. And it's good that we give ourselves to him. But we have to remember, in that deal, he got the short end of the stick. Okay? Let's just be honest, all right? Because there was this trade that took place. He substituted for us, and then there was an exchange. But the real question is, what good does the exchange do if we don't know what the exchange was and what it produced? Otherwise, we're just religious people singing to a God that's far off. And people could even say we have many gods by the way we think about him, because we have Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, Jehovah Sidkenu, the God to our righteousness. And you can almost picture those as separate. They're not separate. They're all him all the time. He's always the healer, not just during a healing service. He's always our righteousness, not just when you're in church. Amen. He's always your provider, not just when you do everything perfect. For instance, I love that Sister Nerissa brought up whenever Jesus multiplied the food. And if you read that very story, he says, he told him, he said, you feed them. Well, Lord, how are we going to do this? And it said he did this to prove them, because he already knew what he was going to do. Think about that. We don't like thinking about this sometimes. God sometimes looks at us and does things and says things in a way to prove us. Right? Not to test us. See, there's a difference. Test means he doesn't know what you're going to do. He doesn't know if you're going to pass or fail. But to prove means he knows what you have in you, and you can do whatever he's asking you to do. Do you get that? That's proving. Whenever he asks them, you feed them. Somebody, after seeing all they've seen, should have stepped up and said, why don't we multiply the food? Why don't we do that? And Jesus would have said, wow, I've not found this kind of faith in all the rest of you 11. Right? When they said, Lord, don't you care? We're drowning here. The boat's going to sink. And just like everybody else, a lot of times, we always tell God, God, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care? We say the same thing the disciples did, and then we laugh at them. But the fact is, they came back and said, don't you care? And then he gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves, and everything calms down. And then he turns around and says, where was your faith? He expected somebody to stand up, get in front of that boat, look at that storm and say, let me tell you something, storm. You're going to calm down because I have the Son of the living God in the back of this boat. He didn't say come to the middle and drown. He said, go to the other side. And we're not at the other side. So storm, get out of the way. That's what he was expecting. He was always trying to get to them to a place where he could pull them up so he could have real fellowship. See, he couldn't even have real fellowship with them until they got out of their normal mind and started thinking of the impossible as possible. You can't fellowship with somebody That, okay, let me put it this way. I don't know any of you. I don't know if any of you are billionaires, okay? If you are, glory to God, use it correctly, all right? But here's the thing. A billionaire can't fellowship with a pauper, as we would say, or somebody that's broke. They can't fellowship. And the person that's the pauper can't really fellowship with a billionaire because their mindsets are totally different. It's totally different. And Jesus was always trying to get our mindset, just as Nerissa said, to come up to his mindset. That's why he said, let this mind be in you. That's why he says, and now we have the mind of Christ. Just we don't access it most of the time. We don't walk in it. Now, I know this isn't the teaching part, you know, that we're doing here this week. But I want you to get a hold of some of these things, because you have to realize if we just keep singing to God at a distance, then we're not really recognizing what he did in us. Because the blood makes him not distant anymore. The blood now has drawn us nigh. We used to be distant. We used to be foreigners without hope in this world, without God. But now because of the blood of Jesus, it has brought him nigh to us. And because of that, he's never far off. I don't have to sing far off somewhere. I can hum inside myself and he hears it. Why? Because that's where he lives now. Amen. Do you get this? When you start to realize that, everything changes. When you realize what he's already given you, he's already given you his name, his word, his spirit, his power. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Does that include healing? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, it goes even beyond healing. It goes to health, divine health. Healing's good. Do you notice in Genesis when God was creating the world? It said he made this and he saw it was good. And he saw it and made this and he saw it was good. And he saw this and saw it was very good. Yeah. Right? So all through that is good and very good. But then you see, read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, and it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good. He was doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. God wasn't at a distance. God was with him. But now notice it said he went about doing good. Why did it, if Jesus was doing it, you'd think it would have said, and he went about doing very good. You know why he couldn't do very good? Because he was having to heal people. Why? Because healing is good. Divine health is very good. Amen. You understand that? He wants us to live in divine health. God is your healer, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. So he is your healer. So healing's in his plan, but it's not, it's the path to his plan. His plan is that you get healed and stay healed. And then you stay healed and you have enough healing in you to give it away to others. He expects us to give away whatever blessings we've been given. Now, I love some of the ways that T.L. Osborne says things. He said, you were saved so you can be a savior. And then religious people freak out. Oh, I can't be a savior. Well, you can't go witness to somebody and get them saved? Yeah, okay, that's all we're saying. We know you can't hang on a cross, right? You can't bear the sins, but you were saved so you can be a savior. Well, guess what? You were healed. Why? To be a healer. You were delivered to be a deliverer. Do you understand that? Whatever we have, we have the kingdom of God. Little children, it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then they said, Lord, what's it going to be like? When's the kingdom going to come? No. Listen, it's not going to come with observation. It's not going to descend, at least not now. And we know the future and all that stuff. But right now, we have to realize what his answer was. And he said, the kingdom is within you. Amen. The kingdom is within you. What does that mean? That's why he said, when you go, whatever city you go to, heal the sick therein. And then say, the kingdom of God has come near. Why? How did it come near? In them. But now how did they know it came near? Because what was in them was released and they healed the people in the cities, not Jesus. One of the things the Lord has had me doing recently is I go back through the scriptures, especially the gospels. Now I stay alive in the epistles because the epistles tell us everything that Jesus did for us and who we are. But now you can go back and look at the gospels and you can see how we're supposed to live this life and how Jesus lived it as an example of how we're supposed to live it. So I go back and read it. And whenever it says, and then Jesus did this. And he went into this town and he saw this blind man and he called the blind man to him. I'll go back and read it. And wherever I see Jesus, now Jesus is the Son of God. Is that right? Okay. Now kind of stay put there. And I'm going to bring in some other scriptures real quick. In John 1:12, he even tells us to those that received him, gave he authority, power to become the sons of God, not just sons of God, to become the sons of God, a particular group. Okay. And then he goes on and says, now he says, beloved, what amazing, over the top, exotic type of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Next verse. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. So he tells us right there, now we're sons. When did you become a son? When you received him. And so now we're sons. So when I go back and read in the Gospels and it says Jesus, anywhere in there it says Jesus, automatically I read the Son of God. Isn't that who he was? But when I read it, the Son of God, then I can say, guess what? I'm a son of God and I can do that. I'm a son of God and I can do that. See, all he was trying to do, he wasn't trying to show us how great he was and how low we were. He kept trying to tell people, listen, you can do what I can do. He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You know, and then we could go on to the, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Did he go to his Father? Yes. Then there's nothing left for us to do but to do the same works and greater. That was the only qualification. It wasn't how much you fasted, how much you prayed, any of that. It was the fact that he went to the Father and he said, it's good. At one point, and we have to start believing the scriptures, not just quote them. We know them. We can quote them, but we have to actually start living them out. Because he said, if you believe in him, you can do these same things. And he said, he told his own disciples. See, these are things we don't generally believe. He said, if they hear you, they hear me. See, just like, again, Sister Nerissa was saying, whenever we, like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When people see us, do they see the kingdom? Perfect. Excellent statement. Why? Because that's the question. What do people see when they see you? Are you the light of the world? Jesus said you were. He said he was, but he also said you were. So we have to decide to start believing. You know, John 14:10, even before John 14:12, we have to start go back and believe all the scriptures that tell us who we are and what we can do in him. And the amazing thing is, when you start finding out that, see, when you realize that you can give away healing, it's pretty easy to keep healed. You just stay healed. Why? Because it's not like something you turn on. Or if it is, turn it on and leave it on. How about that? Just don't turn it off, all right? But the reason I'm saying all this is because, listen, okay, now I got one more question for you, and then we'll kind of jump into some scripture. Is there anybody here that you say, you know what? And just be honest, because I can't say we don't care, because we do care, but I don't want to make this where you're afraid or ashamed or embarrassed to say it. But listen, if you're not born again, is there anybody here that's not born again? You say, I'm not born again. I'm not serving God. You know, I'm not born again. I've never been born again. Is there anybody here? Okay, I don't see any hands. Well, I didn't tell you to put a hand up, but if that's you, put your hand up. All right, anybody? Not born again. Not born again? Okay, all right. Well, guess what? We all were at that place at one point. So what I'm talking about now, okay, because I'm going to be talking to the students and that kind of thing, but I want you to realize that some of the things I say don't apply to you yet. Why? Because these are benefits of being with God. And so if you have not received him, now understand what I mean by received. It's not just a matter of, you know, I received Jesus. No, you got to make him Lord. That means I'll do what he says. Right? And then you read the Bible to find out what he says. Now, at any point while I'm talking, if you decide to get saved and you decide to make Jesus Lord, you can do that. You don't have to come up front. You can do it right where you are. You can be born again right then. And immediately, everything I'm talking about belongs to you. Amen. Why? This is not something you earn. Jesus earned it for you. And then once you accept that, once you make him Lord and you decide I'm going to walk with him, then you start finding out what you can do and all the things that are available to you. But the first thing, and especially since this is a healing service, then we want to emphasize that part. So, and I saw a lot of hands a while ago about people that needed healing. And we're going to minister to all of you, and we're going to do it very quickly. Here's the thing. If it's in the atonement, okay, let me put it this way. If it's written, it's settled. Okay? If it's written in the book, it's settled. There is no ifs, ands, or buts, right? It's settled. Now, and if it's in the atonement, it's settled. Do you get it? So if healing is in the atonement, I don't have to ask God to heal somebody. Why? Because it's in the atonement. It's already been provided. Right? Now, the beauty of this is this. Those of you that are in covenant with God, you've made him your Lord, then healing is already yours, done. It's automatic. And so you can be healed anytime. You don't have to wait till I lay hands on you. Right? You can get healed sitting there. All you have to do is set the date, set the time, set the situation. Right? That's what the one with the issue of blood did. She set the day, the time, the situation, everything. She said, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment and I will be healed. And that's exactly what it was. Jesus didn't know anything about it. He didn't give her healing. She pulled healing. Amen. So you can pull healing at any point. All right. Now, and especially if you're not born again, Jesus made provision for you to get healed too. So it's not a matter of, well, I don't get that. No, see, as a believer, I get to believe what he said to me, which is if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Okay. Now, the reason he said they shall recover. See, I used to question that. Why didn't he say, and they shall be healed? Well, because you have to remember when that was said in Mark 16, Jesus had already raised from the dead. Isn't that right? He wasn't going to bear the stripes. He had already bore the stripes. So as far as God is concerned, they were already healed. But you had to lay hands on them. So now they can recover. Why? Because the healing, how are you healed? By his stripes. But how do we get it to people? Laying on of hands, speaking to a person. So he couldn't say believers will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Why? Because they were already healed. He would have been contradicting what he'd already said. So your job is not to heal. Your job is, as a believer, is just to deliver. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just delivering something that's already done. I'm enforcing a victory that's already won. Amen? That's why this is honestly so easy. And we've seen this all over the world, that where once we teach this to people and just show them the truth about healing, they just grab it and run with it. And it's been amazing. And we've had some, you know, what, I think, well, I'm sure it's younger than that, but I know of an 8-year-old, I know of an 11-year-old that, man, preach and go out and go to Walmart and, you know, they're with their mom and they run over and find a sick person and pray for them. God heals them. And then they come back. And I say, pray. They don't pray. They walk over and say, be healed. And they get healed. And they run back and tell their mom, oh, I had to go take care of that. 8 and 11, 12 years old, that age. Amen? Why? Because there is no little Holy Ghost. All right? We have to realize, though, what God has provided for us. Now, so like I said, if it's written, it's settled. But we have to decide to believe that. And we have to decide everything to believe. Because we have to also believe that he is the firstborn of many brethren. That he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. And it says that we were recreated in his likeness, in his image. So we are recreated in him, right? That's why he told his disciples, if they hear you, they hear me. But the idea is, okay, can we all say that? Well, no, because most of the time I don't talk like him. Why not? The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So if you're not going to talk like the oracles of God, keep your mouth shut. Pretty simple, right? Why? Because we have to realize the union that Jesus did when he was raised from the dead. When he was crucified, you were crucified. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he was raised, you were raised. When he was seated, you're seated. And anything he could do, anything he started to do, you read Acts chapter 1, and it says the things that he began both to do and to teach began. He never ceased. He never stopped. Amen? So even now, right now, where you are, whatever is going on in your body, that's the beauty of this. Just as he read, as Brother Daniel read at the very beginning, that we've seen every type of disease. I don't know of any disease we haven't seen healed. I don't know of any part of the body that we haven't seen healed. Yeah. You name it. I mean, everything. And I've got pictures right now right on my phone that would break your heart from what you see whenever they contact us. And then one is a particular situation that's going on in Togo right now in West Africa, and they sent me pictures of this little girl, and it's horrible, horrible. And yet when we saw them, they asked us, hey, this is a little girl we know. We started ministering to her. We've seen some progress. They got there in January, and they just talked to me about a week or 2 weeks ago. And then I got a picture from them today, and it's already progressed. Now, it's massive progression. We're not done yet. She's still being healed, but these are huge things. I mean, if you saw it, it'd break your heart. But we're seeing the change take place. And these are the people that are the outcasts. These are the people that nobody else would touch. And yet these, actually, they're Karis grads, the people I was telling about. Luke Goosen? Yeah, them. So it's them. So they're over there, and they contacted me and said one of the reasons they were there was my message also helped them to decide to be missionaries. So, you know, I pray that would happen to every student. Every student. Amen. Why? Because we have to realize Jesus didn't come to create cookie cutter preachers that want to reproduce a church like so-and-so has. He came to create a missionary movement that is always multiplying, always growing, always expanding. And we can't be always looking at thinking, well, I'm just going to go here and start this. And you know, I hope my church grows. He doesn't say that. He told us that he will build his church. How does he do it? He's going to do it through you. You've got to multiply. He said the same thing in Genesis. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Then what did Jesus say? He said, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. What was he saying? Be fruitful, multiply. Yeah. Yeah. He was saying the same thing. Why? Because Jesus was the second Adam, the last Adam. And he came here to replace the first Adam. So the real question is this. Do you really believe the scripture? Because if you do, you got to do them. Yeah. What you do is what you believe. And if we say we believe it, then the question is this. What do you believe? Do you really believe that you were translated out of the authority of darkness and into the kingdom of God's Son? Because if you were really translated out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, then guess what? When you switched over, you left sickness behind. Why? No sickness in the kingdom of God. None. Do you get that? You left poverty behind. You left lack behind. Why? Because the Son of God doesn't even consider the possibility of lack. A Son of God doesn't even consider the possibility of failure. Well, what if I lay hands and it doesn't work? You just excluded yourself. You say, well, but I'm just asking a question. Why take ye thought, saying? That wasn't a question out of you. There's only two sources of thoughts, God or the devil. You choose who you're going to mouth their thoughts. God speaking in one ear, and hopefully, you know, you don't hear the devil talking in the other ear. Just like our sister said earlier, why would you want to listen to a loser? Amen? This is who you are. You're not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed, and the enemy is trying to keep you sick. Why? So you won't be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So you won't be a good mouthpiece for him. So you won't be a good billboard for Jesus. Instead, a sick and broken body is a billboard for the devil. And honestly, in Christians, it's saying that our God can't keep his promise. No Christian has a right to be sick. I'm not putting you down. I'm saying you're under attack. Resist. Make the decision. The songs we sing, I'm yours, all of me. All right, then give it all to him. And guess what? He'll keep what you give him. Sickness and disease can't live in a body like that. You've been given life. Life drives out sickness and disease. See, the things I'm sharing with you here, this is life. This isn't just scripture. I'm not just a preacher. I could care less about that. I could care less about a sermon. That's why I preach so long sometimes. Why? Because I'm not on the clock. I don't punch in and punch out. This is life. This is what he died to give me. And I want to live in everything he's got. Amen. And I want to be so close to him, so much like him. He made me like him inside. And now the real journey of the Christian is getting that on the outside. That's right. That means then the way to do that, I have to change my mind and think like he thinks. I don't have the opportunity or the luxury, if you want to call it that. It's not a luxury. I don't have the luxury of thinking like a normal human. I can only think like a son of God. Why? Because that's who he made me. I'm no longer normal. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And then what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, we've known Christ after the flesh, but henceforth we know no man after the flesh, not even Christ after the flesh. So when you look at a believer, you don't look at their flesh and decide what they are. See, if I see you and you're having a hard time going, I don't decide, oh, you know, here's this, here's that. They had this. Oh, they don't know this. Or what, I don't look at it that way. I look at you like a person having a flat tire. You know, I'll pull over, change your tire, get you back on the road. Let's go. Sickness and disease ain't nothing to God. Do you understand that? God isn't up there going, well, I'm trying to get this across. I'm trying to get this healing to them, you know. But, you know, every time I try to release power, all the lights in heaven dim. That ain't the way it works. He's got so much extra power that he ain't stingy in it. He's not holding it back. And he doesn't want you to hold it back. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't pick and choose. Whenever he sent them out the first time, he said, don't take anything with you. And then they came back, and later on, he goes, now I want you to go again. But the last time, did you lack anything? They said, no, nothing. He said, okay, now, why? He was trying to prove them so that they would know how to live this life and that he will take care of them under every circumstance. It doesn't matter. You know, pick a name of God, whichever name you need at the time. You need healing, he's Jehovah Rapha, right? You need provision, he's Jehovah Jireh. Why? But all of it, I mean, get this, you have to realize heaven isn't pouring out the Spirit. The Spirit was poured out. Do you get that? He's here now. You know where he lives now? In us. He's not here to float around, right? He's trying to find bodies to live in. He said, a body you have prepared for me. And he lived in Jesus. And we see Jesus and how he lived. And again, you know, again, quoting T.L., whenever Jesus walked this earth, God was in a Jew. And now he's in you. But do you let him be him through you? That means you got to get over yourself. That means you got to forget yourself. That means you got to quit looking at everything through your eyes. And he said, with my eyes, I will guide you. Yes. And so you have to look at things through his eyes and realize what he said. Do you believe that word or not? Do you really believe that your sins are forgiven? Or do you still have some guilt and shame hiding in there and you hide it under being humble? No, you can't hide that. You have to realize, get rid of that. He died to take away your shame. Amen. He died so you don't have to have condemnation anymore. Yep. He died to undo the words maybe your parents put out over you, yep, telling you you'd never amount to anything. Maybe you'd never do this thing. See, I was blessed with my parents. I had parents that they told me, whatever you put your mind to, you can do. Whatever you decide to do, you can do it, right? And that wasn't necessarily from a Christian viewpoint, even though they were both Christian. But I didn't know that I can do all things through Christ. And I didn't know that, you know, whatever I put my mind to, I could do. Why? Because that's not always true with a lot of people. It wasn't true with me, to be honest with you. But I had somebody that was encouraging me and saying, you can do this. And then I find the Bible that says, you can do this. So it's not about me laying hands on the sick. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And it's no longer I that live. What does that mean? I was crucified with the world and the world crucified unto me. So I don't consider myself anymore. I don't think of myself or what I can do, what I can't do. I do all things in his power. And whatever comes before me, it's in his power. I don't care if it's a headache or, you know, fourth stage terminal cancer, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's his power. All I got to do is let him flow through me. And to do that, all I got to do is believe what he said. But I have to believe what his word says about me. But I also have to know what it says. If I don't know, I can't do it. If you don't know you have it, you can't walk in it. Amen? Amen. So even now as I've been talking, you know, in many cases, your faith has arisen. Some of you have already been healed, don't even know it. Right? You probably won't know it until you start to move around doing something. And sometimes it takes a little bit because your body has different cycles and you go through those cycles. Sometimes it's 24 hours. Sometimes it's 3 days. That's why you always see these numbers in the Bible. Because some of the things they were healed of, it would take 3 days and different things would happen. But you have to realize that who he is in you is the same as he was before. Why? Because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He hadn't changed just because he moved in you. You have to realize that who you are. Now, I'm going to run through these scriptures very quickly. If you want to follow along, that's fine. But the scriptures are real simple. And actually, first, I'm going to read this to you. We have this little pamphlet thing. And it just says what the Bible says about divine healing. So I'm not going to give you all the scripture back up, but you can find them. Most of them you would know anyway. But I'm just going to read these out to you. First off, divine healing is the right and responsibility of every Christian. It's your right to have. It's your right and responsibility to give away. Number two, any hindrance to the healing of any Christian is not of God. Any hindrance, anything that would try to hold back. Now, I'll just be honest with you. There are no hindrances to healing unless you believe there are hindrances to healing. And in that case, it's only that you believe that there's a hindrance. That's the hindrance. Why? Because there is no hindrance to healing, right? And even if you think, well, the devil's a hindrance, he ain't much of a hindrance. Why? You've already made him bigger in stature than he actually is, especially compared to you, especially compared to your big brother Jesus, and especially compared to your father, right? So, number three, God is not our problem. He is our help. Remember that. He's not your problem. He's not holding anything back. The Bible is very clear that God is given out. He even said, when it's in your hand, anything that's good in your hand, to give it. And if you don't do it, it's sin. So if God can do it and he doesn't, it would be sin to him too. So God is doing whatever he can legally do. So if something's not happening, it's because you're not in a legal position to receive it. And so you have to decide to get into that legal position. And that legal position is faith in him, faith in his name, faith in his word. There's three keys to the book of Acts. You go through it, and they're all in the very first few chapters. Okay? The word, the name, and the spirit. Those are the three keys. You have the word, you have his name, you have his spirit. That's the key that opens up everything else in the book of Acts. And anything the apostles did, you can do. Right? That would be a yes. Okay? Okay. Now, so any sickness or disease can be overcome by a Christian. That's a law. You understand? That's a principle. Any sickness or disease can be overcome by a Christian. Right? Now, next one. The enemy is not a serious hindrance and can be overcome by any Christian using the available tools and weapons provided by God. But you have to use the weapons and tools, right? The enemy can only be truly defeated by spiritual weapons and not by carnal, natural weapons devised by man. Right. So you have to realize that this has to come through the Spirit of God, through you, and you're the one with the Spirit of God. The world is not expected to have the Spirit of God. Why? They don't know him because they can't see him. You know him. Why? Because he's with you and shall be in you. Has he moved into you yet? Yeah. That's up to you. Why? Because he's a gift. And he's the greatest gift God ever gave the church. Now, understand, Jesus is the greatest gift God ever gave the world. But the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is the greatest gift he has ever given the church. Next, Christians and non-Christians without faith. Now, get this, without faith, for healing, can be healed when Christians exercise kingdom authority. Okay? It does no good for you to be given authority if it won't work for anybody other than you.
Yeah, amen.
You understand that? These are vital things you have to get a hold of. All sickness and disease is the work of the enemy and is to be defeated whenever and wherever they are encountered. Yes. Right? Any of it is an enemy. Doesn't matter how. You say, well, yeah, but there's a natural thing. There's this natural thing that caused it. Well, if you go back, look now, understand. Okay, I'll just use Job. Okay? In Job, what, chapter 7, I think, verse 2? Or is it 2:7? I'd have to look it up. But it says there that Satan went out and smote Job with boils. Okay? Now, if you look in the book of Acts, Herod was struck with worms. Okay? Today, we'd say parasites. And it killed him. Right? But now, notice, he was working against God, and these things overcame him. So, now understand, many times, what people see as natural events are actually spiritual events brought on by the spiritual condition of a person. So these things can happen to this. Now, the good thing is Satan hates you. You say, that's good. Well, what's good is that God loves you.
Amen.
And his love trumps Satan's hate.
Amen.
Amen? Satan hates you because you're made in the likeness and image of Christ. Right? That's why he hates you. But now you have to realize that God recreated you. And now you have on the armor of God, and that armor of God, the devil can't even tell who's in that armor because it's God's armor.
That's right.
So all you got to do is talk like God, and the devil will think it's God in there. You understand that? Don't open it up and come out and, you know, my ministry, my anointing, my gifting. Nope. None of that's yours anyway. It's all his. Or do I need to remind you it's no longer you that live, but Christ who lives in you?
Amen.
You see? So that's why I said, forget yourself, get over yourself, quit thinking about yourself, quit thinking about, you know, the double portion or any of the other stuff, and just realize Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is, that's who lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, when he moved in, he brought all his stuff with him. He didn't leave anything outside. His healing, his power, his anointing, his gifting, all that is abiding in you now. But God can do exceeding abundantly above all you can even ask or think. According to the power that works in you, not to the power that exists in you, not to the power that is in you, according to the power that works in you. So God is only limited by how much you let him work in you. You say, well, I just don't have that much desire toward God. Well, get some. Get stirred up. If you don't have that much desire, it's just because you don't know him. Because the more you know about him, the faster he wants to do something for you. And in you and through you. Amen? So now real quick, I'm just going to give you the legal basis for your healing. And we would even, I'm not going to try to go through an order necessarily, but in Psalm 103, he even tells us that he has healed, he has forgiven all your iniquity and healed all your diseases. End of story. So do you believe you are truly forgiven?
Yes.
Then you're also truly healed. Because whatever he did with your sins, he also did with your sicknesses. You can read that in Psalm 103. And if you go to Isaiah 53, it even tells us there. Psalm 53, only 12 verses. The fourth verse is the only verse that says, surely. It talks about him bearing your sins, your iniquities. But only one verse says, surely. And that's the verse that says that he has borne our sicknesses and our diseases. So we should be just as solid about healing as we are forgiveness of sin. And whatever he did with your sins, he did with your sicknesses also. When he got rid of your sins, he got rid of your sicknesses. So anything you have right now going on in your body is illegal. Why? Because the devil is a thief. You didn't give him permission. Okay, let me go back to that. You can't give God, you can't give the devil permission to attack you. You may give him place or opportunity, but you can't give him authority. Why? Because you're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. And if you belong to him, only he can give authority for your body. Now, you can give him opportunity. That's why it says, give him no place. Give the devil no place in your life. And there's ways that you can give him place. You can give him place, but he doesn't have authority. He's still a thief. He still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's trying to do in you. You say, well, mine isn't that serious. If you didn't have an immune system, it would be and it'd kill you. God's grace and mercy that you have an immune system and you were made with an immune system. Now understand, if you were made with an immune system, that should be proof enough right there, not even from the Bible, but proof that God wants you well and not sick. Or he wouldn't have given you an immune system. All right? Why? Because it's God in there that created. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says that in the evening, they brought everybody to him that was sick and demon possessed, had all kinds of things. And he says, and he healed them all. He healed them. Why? So that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself bore our sicknesses and our diseases. So he healed them all. And every time it ever mentions how many got healed, it always says he healed them all. Jesus never left anybody sick. He never turned anybody down. He never said you didn't have enough faith. Why? Because he was representing the kingdom. He was saying, do you want to see the kingdom? I'll show you the kingdom. When he sent his disciples out, he said, heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom is here. We want to demonstrate the kingdom. Jesus never taught healing. He practiced healing. He taught the kingdom and then said, this is what the kingdom is like. Amen. Watch this. Be healed. Be healed. Receive your eyesight. He never prayed to the Father and said, Father, heal this person. He said, what do you want me to do? I want my eyesight. Receive your eyesight. He gave the people what they asked. See, we have this idea that he's deciding, picking, and choosing. But he said, don't pick and choose. Freely you've received, freely give. So all this goes back to you. I say all this to you right now because I want you to realize that if you need healing, right, then why don't we just go? We got like 5 minutes left. If you need healing in your body, why don't you stand up where you are right now? Just stand up quickly, if you can. If you couldn't stand up, you can now. There we go. Just go ahead and stand up. There we go. Now watch this, in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you have pain in your body? You got pain in your body, okay? There we go. Now watch, the reason I ask that is because that's something you can tell, and it's something that people probably around you know also. So we're going to say that. Now right now, let me tell you, he took our pain. He bore our pains. You understand that? Your body has no right to have pain in it. And if nothing's wrong, then you don't need pain. Pain is to show you something's wrong. So if he takes the pain, it also means he healed you of anything else. Amen? So right now, in the name of Jesus, listen, I don't have time to lay hands on all of you. You could be a crowd this size, or you could be a crowd of 120,000 like I had in Zimbabwe a couple of years ago. Guess what? I can't lay hands on everybody. So guess what? Now I have to be the voice of God. And so the voice of his word. And as I'm the voice of his word, then the angels hearken to make it happen. So even now, as we command right now in the name of Jesus, pain, sickness, tormenting spirits, false pain, right now in the name of Jesus, spirits of infirmity, you will hear and obey the voice of the word of God. You will leave these bodies. You have no place here. You have no right here. And right now in the name of Jesus, beyond pain, sickness and disease, heart issues. Who has heart issues? Let me see a hand. Heart issues. Okay. Yep. See. Okay. All right. Heart issues. So he knows. And I'm just, you know, if you hear me, you hear him. Do you understand? That's what he said. He said, if they hear you, they hear me. If they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So if you hear me, you're hearing him. Why? He says, when you stand before kings, you're kings and priests. When you stand before kings, don't take thought of what you'll say ahead of time. It'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. What I just called out was the Spirit of the Father speaking through. Right? So Father, if there's anything else, right now, in the name of Jesus. Yep. Nerve pain, chronic nerve pain. This has been going on for a while. Pain, right? I mean, chronic pain, more so than just pain. It's really, I mean, I don't want to say you're on medication for it and all that kind of stuff, but it's beyond that. Matter of fact, it feels like the medication isn't even working. Who is that? Okay, there you go. Then he knows. He knows. That's why he said it. That's not something I would just call out. I want you to know he's here. He's hearing me. He's hearing you. Whenever I speak this, you know what's going to happen? It's not coming from me to you. And it's not coming from heaven to you. You're born again. It's coming out of your spirit. And his word coming out of your spirit and his spirit with his word together in his name. Spirit, word, name. Three keys to the book of Acts. Those three things together cause us to go into your spirit and push that sickness and disease out and push these things, these ailments out. Amen? Do you understand that? So in the name of Jesus right now, every sickness and disease, every demonic entity, every attack, matter of fact, addiction you want free from, you've tried to get free of it, you swore over and over again, this is it, and you failed, and you feel so bad you don't even want to try again. I'm telling you, he wants you to know, he knows, and he's with you, and today's your day. Now listen, I'm not asking what, I'm just saying if that was you about an addiction that you have tried and failed, and you want to be free, let me see your hand, quick. Hand up, okay? Anybody? Yep, okay. Hands up. That's for you. You get that? So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Your word is true. Father, we thank you that you have given such power unto men, that we can speak in the name of your Son, that we represent your kingdom, and that in the name of Jesus, your people are set free. That right now, they were meant to be free. They were born free. And the invader, the enemy of their soul is against them, and we forbid him to continue to work against their bodies. Their bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So Father, I thank you even now that the Holy Spirit rise up within them. Drive out the aliens, drive out the attackers. That in Jesus' name right now, I say, be free now in Jesus' name. Be made whole, be free in Jesus' name. Yep, right there, he did, yep, okay. Start to move, check it out. Okay, now who's free? You can tell you're free in your body. You start to move, right? You just raise your hand and let's see who you've already been made free of pain or whatever. Because remember, it's the other sickness and disease also. So even now, right now, while that's working, now I can tell you, and just as Jesus called the woman the Son of God, as I said before, when he saw this woman bowed over and could in no wise lift up herself, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. He didn't even pray for her. He proclaimed, he declared, woman, you are loosed. Then he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. That's the word that just came to me just now, that you've been bound And the enemy has no right to have you bound. And I'm telling you now, you are loosed from your infirmity. Right now. And that thing that has plagued you, no more. No more in Jesus' name. Listen, it's time. It's not time for a gift or somebody to go, ooh, ah, this is a gift. That no, that's not it. It's time for the body of Christ to be free of sickness and disease, to be healed and made whole, and to go back to like the Son of God would do. And they were all healed, and he healed everyone. And he's the one that touched you today, not my hands. So you can't go out there going, well, Brother Curry, you know, go to his. No, no, no. Jesus. He touched you. He set you free. He's making the difference. Amen? Amen. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. And we praise you. Lift up your voices and just praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. He is good. Remember, he didn't just set you free. He remade you like himself, that you are remade in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. And I thank you, Father, that your word, according to your word, be it unto us, that we believe your word. We live in your word. We act on your word. In the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 My brother Daniel, all right. God bless you. Thank you all for having me here again. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Woo. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Curry, for being with us again. Hallelujah. Remain standing, if you would. Everybody, just stand up with me. And we just want to bless Curry Blake and their John G. Lake Ministries. And would you just extend your hands towards him right now? And Father, we just release a blessing. We say more than enough in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for supernatural protection, supernatural direction, supernatural provision in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the seasons that he's been in, the season that he's in now, and the season that you're leading him into in Jesus' name. We declare abundance in the name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed said, amen, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to invite our healing disciples to come forward. They're scheduled to minister today. And maybe you want some further ministry for whatever reason. That's why we're here. We want to be able to provide that for you. And so we want to give you that opportunity. If that's you, just come out into the aisles and our ushers will direct you to our healing disciples here in the front. And we'll be honored and blessed to be able to minister to you. Those of you joining us on the internet, maybe you're new to the healing ministry here. I want to just remind you or inform you if you are new, remind you if you aren't new, that we have also prayer ministers standing by right now to take your call. If you'll call that number on your screen, 719-635-1111, we're seeing breakthrough through our call center on a daily basis. And we want to see you experience the goodness of God in every area of your life. So call that number and let someone minister to you. You don't have to do this alone. Thank God that we can come together as the body of Christ, and we're going to see the kingdom of God, even as Brother Curry mentioned today, be made manifest. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Man, I've been sick and I've been healed, and I can tell you, healed is better. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been poor and I've been blessed, and blessed is better. And I'm so grateful for God's goodness in my life as well as all of our lives here. And then let me ask you, those of you joining us on the internet, one more thing. If you would write to us, let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. We want to celebrate with you, but we also want to use that as encouragement for other people who may be going through something very similar to what you're going through right now. It's amazing how other people will say, man, if God did that for them, God can do that for me. And you know what? The truth is, it's already been done 2,000 years ago. So we want to celebrate that victory with you, to where you acknowledge what you had already been given and celebrate God's grace in your life. So if you would write to us, let us know, and we're going to share that and we're going to celebrate that with you. God bless you. Those of you joining us on the internet, you are dismissed. We love you, and we look forward to the next time we're together next week in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you here in the auditorium, we're going to be here as long as we